You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
Those are the words of President Trump early this morning around 1:30 Eastern Time, saying we won, it's a fraud. And he's maintaining that today, as the Trump campaign has now filed a lawsuit to stop the counting in Michigan, saying we're not getting access, so you need to stop until we get full access and can see what you're doing. And now they're also requesting an immediate Wisconsin recount, as CNN has declared that Wisconsin goes to Biden. Where do we stand right now? 270 needed to win. Biden with 248, that would include Wisconsin. Trump at 214. Now, I told you that Trump made his announcement that you just heard a moment ago, around 1:30 Eastern time this morning. Well, around 12:30 Eastern time, Joe Biden stepped up.
Look, we feel good about where we are. We really do. I'm here to tell you tonight, we believe we're on track to win this election. We knew because of the unprecedented early vote and the mail-in vote, that it's going to take a while. We're going to have to be patient until the hard work of tallying the votes is finished. And it ain't over till every vote is counted, every ballot is counted.
So, yes, we want every ballot counted. We don't want ballots suddenly brought forward to affect and change things. And that's what the Trump campaign has been claiming and stating, that there's a lot of shenanigans still going on. Now, I know that sounds like a sore loser. First thing you do is say, well, the rules aren't right. You changed them. You know, you deflated the football, remember? Something like that. You can make all those claims. Some of it might be legitimate, some might be proven, some might just be flailing in the wind. Yes, I wanted to be in a position today to say that Trump won it and won it handily. If you missed the interview we had with Dr. Gerard Lamero last hour, you need to pull up the podcast that will be up shortly at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Dr. Lamero had said Trump will get 348 electoral votes and Biden 170. What went wrong? Dr. Lamero said, well, something did shake the model forecast. He said, I'm not so sure that didn't involve some kind of illicit activity. But he admits he lost some confidence in what he did. He's going to go back and start looking at it again. Frank Luntz, big pollster, had said, once again, polls were wrong. We had it totally wrong. So we got to go back and take another look. And Joe Biden made his statement also at 12:30 this morning that I want to see everything, that Trump is speaking out too early.
It's not my place or Donald Trump's place to declare who's won this election. That's the decision of the American people. But I'm optimistic about this outcome.
He is optimistic still, and yet you've got the Trump team saying there are a lot of questions. And again, back to some remarks Trump made about an hour after Biden early this morning, around 1:30 this morning.
So our goal now is to ensure the integrity for the good of this nation. This is a very big moment. This is a major fraud in our nation. We want the law to be used in a proper manner. So we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all voting to stop. We don't want them to find any ballots at 4 o'clock in the morning and add them to the list, okay? It's a very sad moment. To me, this is a very sad moment, and we will win this, and we, as far as I'm concerned, we already have won it.
Well, of course, you can say that, and you can believe it, but will the facts prove it out? Coming up over the next rest of this hour, Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation talking about election fraud is real and it's being ignored. And John LaBoutière, former U.S. congressman who is not a Trump supporter, GOP man, conservative, Reagan conservative, not Trump, a Trump supporter. What's his take on all this? Stand by, please.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500. But my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Glad to welcome back Hans von Spakovsky, the Heritage Foundation expert in constitutional law. Hans, again, glad to have you on board, sir.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
So we've talked previously about election fraud, and you have out a piece you wrote just penned yesterday, and I want to get to that in a moment. But before I do, let me give you just a couple minutes on your own thoughts of how this election stands right now and where it's going.
Well, the big problem we have, as you know, is there are crucial states not yet decided. And I'm hearing from people, and there are reports that in the counting that is now going on in Michigan, for example, and that what they're doing is they're processing and counting the many, many absentee ballots that people sent in. You know, I'm hearing from people on the ground in Michigan that election officials there are barring Republican poll watchers from being able to observe the process. That means they are violating state law. They don't have the right to do that. And you have to sit there and wonder, what are they hiding? Why are they not allowing poll watchers in? That's part of the whole transparency process. Poll watchers of both political parties and candidates are all supposed to be in there. This is not a partisan issue. And that's the kind of behavior we should not be seeing in an election that is now down to razor-thin margins.
And to that extent, the Trump campaign has already announced a lawsuit to stop the counting, saying because we're not getting meaningful access. So, again, you have to raise questions. Anytime you start changing rules in the play, you got to wonder what's going on. Your piece you pointed out the other day, U.S. election fraud is real, impact being ignored. And you start by pointing out a Republican who cheated in an election. So it's not just one side. We all acknowledge that.
Well, yeah, except that the progressive left doesn't want to acknowledge it. They want to try to convince people there's no election fraud anywhere in their country. And You know, the reason for that, and they used to not do that. They used to acknowledge these problems. But these days, they try to deny it for the very specific reason that if they can convince people there's no election fraud, then they can say, well, there's no reason to put in measures that will deter and prevent it, like showing an ID when you vote, or like requiring people to provide proof of citizenship when they register to vote, or like with what's going on right now, requiring witness signatures on absentee ballots, and or requiring election officials to compare signatures of voters on absentee ballots with the signatures of the voters on file to make sure that it's actually the voter who filled out and sent in that absentee ballot.
And didn't we have one state get a ruling that they don't have to really bother about checking the signatures, and even if it's different than what they've got on file, it can be counted? Thought I saw that.
Yes, in fact, it's Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, that's right. Yeah.
Look, Pennsylvania is in question, and who wins the presidency? Pennsylvania is crucial to that, and yet you had the state Supreme Court there not only extend the state imposed legal deadline past election day for the receipt of absentee ballots. They also told election officials that they couldn't reject a ballot even if the signature is on the absentee ballot is not the same signature that the voter used when they registered to vote.
My guest coming up later in this hour, John LeBoutière, former U.S. congressman. He classifies himself as a Reagan Republican. He's not a Trump supporter. And he said, the Republicans are making all this noise about mail-in balloting and everything, that it's fraudulent, open to fraud, things of this nature. He said, they've been doing it for years, and now suddenly they want to claim that it's illegal or being used in illegal ways. What's your retort to such a belief that mail-in balloting is not subject to fraud?
Well, you might ask him about the four individuals who were recently charged in Paterson, New Jersey.
I know the answer would be that's a small case, and that's what they're always going to say.
Well, he's a former member of Congress. What about the congressional race in North Carolina that was overturned 2 years ago because of absentee ballot fraud in that case? And I can name to him case after case after other cases of elections that were overturned due to fraud, including absentee ballot fraud. And, you know, what's his answer going to be to that? Oh, well, we just don't need to worry about it. Too bad about the voters and those districts. They just shouldn't worry about fraud.
Maybe I should have gotten you both on the air at the same time, but I will run those exactly by him, just like you said. So you also had pointed out, and election integrity should be important to all of us, but for you, you have a personal concern also as a first-generation American.
Well, I do, because my mother was German, my father was Russian, my father escaped communism twice, my mother grew up in Nazi Germany, and my childhood was filled with stories from them about how fragile democracy is, and the key to preserving our liberties and freedoms is making sure we have fair and secure elections.
If we are going to see this go to the Supreme Court, and Trump was already saying it's a fraud, we're going to take the Supreme Court, and Democrats and on CNN are saying, how dare he say that? I mean, we're in the midst of the election. He starts calling fraud and everything else. And at that time, he was talking about Michigan last night, and also Arizona is another one that's still very big. I was absolutely surprised that even Fox News called Arizona as early as they did yesterday. And all of you got Arizona with 11, as you point out, Pennsylvania with 20, and Georgia, Michigan, 16 apiece. There's a lot of votes still in play, and supposedly Wisconsin is in the Biden column for those 10. How much longer are we going to go on with this, you think?
Well, how long is it going to take Pennsylvania? Apparently this morning they said that I think they had like over a million absentee ballots not yet been counted. How long is it going to take them to do it, particularly when they do unexplainable things the way Philadelphia, for example, last evening, before it even gotten very late, suddenly said, oh, we're just not going to count the ballots. We'll take it up again the next morning.
And Nevada stated yesterday they're not going to give any more reporting on ballots until Thursday, tomorrow morning. Why?
Well, I don't understand that either. They get regular uploads. That is the Secretary of State's office. They get regular reports and uploads of election results from counties all over the state. There's no reason to not provide that information to the press and everyone else. Again, that's part of the transparency of the election process. And again, you have to ask, why are they hiding this information? That's not in the best interest of the public.
A lot of the pollsters have admitted that even Frank Luntz of CBS said, yeah, we failed again, and the numbers were far off of what we expected. Even though Biden, did not win by the margins they were talking about, or hasn't won at all at this point, but the margins they were pointing out that he had, they're not there. They're not there, and they never apparently were there. So it's a matter sometimes, I think, of some media trying to sell us a story. It's kind of like, we don't have the steak, but we'll sell you the sizzle.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, part of that, there's two reasons for that, I believe. One is they continually oversample Democratic voters. They did that in 2016. You would think they would have learned their lesson by now, but by not doing it. But I think the other thing that they neglect to take into account is that, look, Republican voters see the kind of harassment and intimidation that's reported and they've seen of people who say they support Trump. And I think there's a lot of Republicans who, first of all, they despise the media, and they include pollsters in that. And when pollsters call them out of the blue, on the one hand, they don't really trust them, so they don't want to talk to them. And on the other hand, they don't want to admit that they support Trump. And so I think pollsters are continually underestimating the support Trump has. And we certainly saw that in the polling and the election results.
Robert Cahaley, the chief pollster for Trafalgar Group, pointed out the very thing you did, in the sense that they don't trust him, so they're not going to report. He said, but when we do our projection, we try to build in that distrust and reasonable, I forget the term he used, reasonable acceptance of a candidate, something of that nature. They only had Trump winning by posting 280, just 10 above what he needed. So it wasn't like he's a runaway. But I do agree, and I know there are a lot of folks, I know folks that would never put a Trump sign in their yard or on their car because they think they'd be attacked and be victimized.
Yeah, no, they're afraid of being vandalized. And I don't know anybody, I don't know any folks who have Biden signs in their yards who worry about their house being vandalized because of that. It's all the other way.
Another thing that's in play, especially when you look at Florida, I'm looking at a statement from a Florida a Democrat, I believe, a high-ranking Democrat, saying what happened in Florida is that the left was pushing the issue of violence, we're going to go to violence, and also defunding police. He said that defunding police cost votes in Florida.
Oh, I have no doubt. And in fact, I think that was the factor not just in Florida, but in a lot of other places too.
And we did have violence last night in Minneapolis. In fact, I pointed out to the audience earlier, some of them going down the streets of Minneapolis, sometimes into residential neighborhoods, carrying a banner saying, America is over, which is pretty much what many of them want.
It is, and it clearly has cost Democrats a lot in this election. All you have to do is look at, they thought they would take over the Senate. That doesn't appear to be happening, even though there's still some outstanding races. Republicans actually gained seats in the U.S. House. Democrats expected they would get an even more powerful majority. They really have not done very well in this election. I think it's Politico, actually, which is, big newspaper, political newspaper in Washington, D.C., I think, had a headline saying that this election was a disaster for Democrats.
To that extent, I'd stated to the audience the other day that if we could only win the White House or the Senate, I'd like both, but if we could only win one, I want the Senate because I think that's crucial to the nation. And if they controlled the House and Senate, and Trump even had the White House, it'd be ineffective and they would still run everything through. Your thoughts?
Oh, no, I agree. One of the most important things is retaining control of the Senate in order to, frankly, be able to use the Senate to oppose the terrible legislation that Nancy Pelosi has been pushing for the last 2 years, and I'm sure will continue to push. And the backstop to prevent that from happening has been the U.S. Senate.
So to that extent, if let's say Biden ends up winning. I hate to say that. I don't expect him to be in there long. I expect Kamala to kind of shove him aside. But I won't get you into that. But if he wins and the Republicans hold the Senate and the House is held by the Democrats, what's going to be done for the country going forward?
Oh, well, look, a president has a lot of power. And unlike Donald Trump, anything that Joe Biden does isn't going to immediately result in a lawsuit and an injunction by liberal federal judges. So we can expect, I mean, they've made it very clear what their positions, for example, on immigration are. And whereas Donald Trump has really tried to enforce our immigration laws and secure the border, Joe Biden has made it very clear he wants an open border. He doesn't want to enforce our immigration laws. He wants to provide amnesty and citizenship for all of the illegal aliens in the country. I mean, it will be quite a contrast.
All right. As always, I appreciate you taking time to be with us. And I'm going to raise your points that you did with John Lutier here in a few minutes. I appreciate you joining us.
Sure thing. Anytime.
You bet. We'll do it again. Hans von Spakovsky at Heritage Foundation. His statement, election fraud is real. Its impact is being ignored. I fully agree with that. We'll run that through with John shortly. Coming up in the next segment, however, a CNN commentator, Van Jones, says Democrats are hurting because of what happened with this. They're not happy. They're not happy even though they've got some of the wins, possibly. He'll explain when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think a lot of Democrats are hurt tonight. I think there's a lot of hurt out there. There's a moral victory and there's a political victory. They're not the same thing. The political victory still may come. But I think for people who saw babies being snatched away from their mothers at the border, for people who are sending their kids into schools where the N-word is now being used against them, for people who have seen this wave of intolerance, they wanted a moral victory tonight. We wanted to see a repudiation of this direction for the country. And the fact that it's this close, I think, it hurts. It just hurts. I think people got their hopes up looking at those polls. The political victory, I think, is still possible because you still have Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, Nebraska, too. The political victory may yet come. Mm-hmm. But I just got to be honest tonight that I think people there were people who were hoping for a big repudiation.
That's Van Jones of CNN, and he was talking earlier in the evening last night before Arizona was called for Biden, but it's under question now, Arizona and its 11 electoral votes. But his point being, many folks wanted to see a landslide, and they thought all the numbers for Biden were indicated to be a landslide for Biden and a repudiation of everything connected to Trump. The national exit poll shows, according to political activists, Trump pushed up his vote share of minorities and women. It suggests 1 in 3 Latino men voted for Trump, 1 in 6 black men. And keep in mind, the other day, Congresswoman Waters said any black person who votes for Trump is basically dead to me. She didn't use that phrase, I did. She said it's unforgivable. I'll never forgive them. But according to the exit poll, 1 in 3 Latino men voted for Trump. 1 in 6 black men. Now, the one thing that was pointed out, that Trump doubled his vote among black women and saw gains among all Latinos, and basically says this push for identity politics focused on race and sex instead of income and education is out the window. This is a crushing defeat for left racial identity politics, which is kind of what Van Jones is saying we wanted to see. It didn't happen. At least not what we're seeing so far. We don't have the exact numbers of how many votes will go racial gender base to Trump versus Biden, but is anywhere near what they were expecting with the so-called numbers putting Biden running away with everything. And, of course, Trump thought he was going to win. Still says he is. And, in fact, it's challenging Michigan because they're not allowing the Republican poll watchers to keep view on how they're counting the ballots. And Wisconsin has some ballots that suddenly surfaced. How did they get those? And yet they've given Wisconsin to Biden at this point. And questions about Arizona. How did it get called so early last night? And Trump supposedly is only about 10 to 20,000 behind Biden, and yet there are 400,000 ballots still out. Here's where we stand. And the numbers, you have to decipher this yourself. I can't help you. CNN says right now Biden has 237 to Trump 213. 237 to 213. That's CNN. Fox News says that when you look at it, it got, don't freeze up on me now, has Biden at 248. About 10 more. Trump at 214. We're going to take a break when we come back. John LaBoutière will join us. Former congressman from New York, a Reagan Republican, does not like Trump, says all the talk about a Trump losing because of any fraud is wrong. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I am flesh and I am bone, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Glad to welcome back John LaBoutière, former U.S. Congressman from New York State and a author of the book Harvard Hates America. John, glad to have you back on board, sir.
If you don't mind, Larry, while I'm talking to you, I'm opening up a package of toothpicks, and I'm propping my eyelids open. I mean, God, I am tired.
Did you stay up all night? You stayed with it all night?
I think I dozed off around 2 a.m. for 20 minutes.
Well, I appreciate you. You're right there in the trenches for us, and that's good. I did mine not with toothpicks, but with tequila, John. It helps, believe me.
Oh, my God. I don't drink, but if I had one shot of anything, I would sleep for the whole week.
Well, let me give you a couple minutes, or somewhere in that area, just your opinion of where we stand now, and I won't interrupt you. Just have your say. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, obviously it's not.
Wait a minute. I want to interrupt. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's the thing, though, Larry, is if you have to choose which of the two candidates you'd rather be right now, you'd rather be Biden. He's closer to 270 and has a better path to it, barring legal cases. That's really what Trump and his team are now talking about. They have every right to have a recount in Wisconsin. Of course they should. Rarely do those things turn around. Then they're talking about legal action in Pennsylvania. I haven't even counted the votes yet in Pennsylvania, all of them. And they're talking about legal action.
And in Michigan.
Michigan, too. Biden's pulling ahead in Michigan comfortably a little bit. So if he gets that, and he's got Wisconsin, and once they say he's won Arizona, which he's healthily ahead in. And tomorrow, for some reason, Nevada isn't giving us their expert results till tomorrow. I don't know why. They don't work on Wednesdays in Nevada? I don't know.
Gambling day,
but
I guess. Go
it's
ahead.
Conceivable that at some point tomorrow, Joe Biden will, in effect, be the winner of this election. Now, there'll still be challenges, all the stuff we talked about, but Biden is closer to being able to say, I have made it to 270.
Now, I've got a couple things run past you, and I've got so many different routes for me to go, a pathway for me, but I'm going to settle on one real quick. And this is reflective, I think, of many. I've got a listener texting into the Facebook that Helen saying, last night Trump was ahead and popular, and they shut down all the states he'd win. Folks there want their jobs. They know what's going on. Dems can't fool all the people. Trump should win Pennsylvania. All those mail-in are Dem plants. Now, that's going to be the attitude, and Trump has already emphasized the same kind of thing, regardless. And you can certainly say, oh, you're losing, so you're going to start crying foul. I got that. We know that story. Your take.
Well, yeah, and I don't think the mail-in ballots are foul or fraudulent or any such thing. I mean, people were mailing in ballots for the last 2 months all over this country, obviously way more than normal because of the pandemic. And those people have a right to have their votes counted. And I don't think that's going to work to argue that. She also said something about places were shut down. Nothing was shut down. Everything's proceeding ahead. Secretaries of state in every state are going to have to ultimately certify that these results are real. There's not a whiff of anything smelly coming out of yesterday. Nothing corrupt, nothing dirty. Yeah, Trump can scream it, but I mean, I saw this thing, you know, there's this funny thing called the Borowitz Report, which is a spoof in the New Yorker.
Right.
And they put this one up today. Cincinnati Bengals announced that they have won the Super Bowl. The team argued that no touchdowns, extra points, field goals, or safeties scored after their announcement should count. Well, that's what Trump's trying to do, and it's not going to work.
So before you join us, I had Hans von Spakovsky on the Heritage Foundation. We're talking about, he put a piece in the Daily Signal saying U.S. election fraud is real, its impact's being ignored. And he went through several cases in that article, and as we're on the air, about times and involving Republicans as well, where you've got situations where fraud took place. It's clearly acknowledged, especially when you have mail-in, you open up more of it. I told him that you said, and maybe I misquoted you, but you say Republicans have been doing mail-in. Why is it suddenly fraud if the Democrats are getting more involved? And he said, John, he said you need to look at the facts of the cases. Go ahead.
Well, I did say that because the biggest case recently was the congressional race in rural North Carolina 2 years ago, where the Republican candidate had a field worker going out in the rural areas of the district.
Ninth congressional district, yep.
Yeah, and that was the biggest case. Now, Nelson, this guy, I don't know who this guy is, but he should be aware, I'm sure he is. He's at the Heritage Foundation. He's a smart guy. That Trump appointed an election fraud commission in early 2017. And he put all his own friends, like Chris Kobach was the chairman of it, and they couldn't find any fraud, and they disbanded in less than a year, never finding any fraud. Then Trump's appointed FBI director 6 weeks ago said, we, the FBI, have not found any systematic fraud in these elections.
Well, you know, there's a lot of suspicion, I hate to say, about the FBI, because I have a lot of good friends, the FBI agents. The way we saw that it was weaponized for the Mueller investigation, that's another rabbit hole. Go ahead.
People can have their doubts about the FBI, but which I think is a mistake. But Donald Trump's administration has had all the power for 4 years. They run the Justice Department. Where is a prosecution of election fraud? If it exists, why aren't they prosecuting it? Why aren't they holding up the case saying, see,
And they may well going forward. Now, the other issue.
They don't have much time, Larry. They're yeah. running out of time.
All right. You know what I mean? All right. The other point is what we saw with the election turnout and how the race broke for Florida in particular, the apparently Latino vote really put Trump over. That some are saying this is proving the Republican Party is really becoming a multicultural party. It's no longer just the party of the whites. Would you agree with that?
Hopefully. And it did do better than polling had shown. And listen, when I was a young kid, the Democrats here in the Northeast were Irish and Italian Catholics. They were all Democrats. By the time I became an adult and I was voting for Nixon in 72, that became the biggest group of former Democrats that had turned into Republicans because they were conservative socially on social issues, and they saw Vietnam driving the Democratic Party to the left, and they said, I don't want to be in that party, and they came over and became, and now they're the heart of the Republican Party. Catholic voters are Republicans, and guess what unites all these Latino voters? They are Catholic. They are conservative on social issues. They're extremely religious. They have a much better home in our Republican Party than they do in that wacko Democratic Party.
All right. And one other chance for you to have firing a salvo, Dr. Gerard Lamero, that had predicted by his model forecast, he's right on within three votes of electoral last time, had predicted Trump with 340, Biden with 170. I had him on earlier, and he said, well, the model's wrong. I got to figure out why, but I still think that Trump will win. You said previously that you don't think he knows what he's doing.
Well, if he's predicting 340 for Trump, I don't need to say anything else. I mean, it's not happening. And I don't want to dump on the guy. Everybody makes predictions. And more
he, by the way, he praised you. He said, I know John LeBeau. He's a good guy.
Yeah, and I don't know him. And all our predictions are often wrong because that's why we have fun with these things. It's like, why do you watch a sports contest, a game? Because you don't know how it's going to end. Whereas if you watch a TV show, you can kind of figure it out. So I don't blame the guy. But this prediction of his is not happening. And I think right now the strong odds are Biden will be the next president of the United States, most likely with a Republican Senate and a Democratic House.
All right.
And that, well, and the next time you have me on, we need eventually to start predicting what that's going to look like and how that's going to work.
Yeah, I do want to get into that. And before we lose you this time around, when we're talking about what's coming in the future, if we look at where the vote came down, and I still was amazed that Arizona was called as early as it was and how he couldn't win Arizona if he won Florida, basically a Latino-type vote as well. Do you let me see how – give me one second. Let me cut the mic. I'm having throat troubles. Thank you. I was about ready to call.
Okay.
And I might have lost my train of thought with that process. but the other point –
Well, you were shocked by Arizona.
Well, yeah, and I was really moving past that. I wanted to get across quickly in the sense that are we going to see the country come together after this, or do you think it's going to be more divisive?
Well, you know, greatest question you could ask for all of us, Larry. And when I got up this morning from lying down, not sleeping, I said, you know, this feels to me like 2000, the Bush-Gore race, where
right.
Gore narrowly won the popular vote.
Got 30 seconds.
Bush barely got in because of Florida. And what were we that day? The country was a 50-50 country. Totally divided. And George W. Bush started out his presidency as a minority president. He didn't win the majority of vote and didn't get off to a great start. And then came 9/11.
Good
and
point.
9/11 unified the country, and right. He was a very popular president. So,
John, I appreciate it, and we will book you again. We got a lot more to talk about. John LeBoutier, thank you again, sir.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Roxanne, you don't have to go on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to go on the red light.
Roxanne. This
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The first thing is, every Democrat just put the razor blades and the Ambien back in the medicine cabinet. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. I think we're going to be just fine. I'm very optimistic. I've been talking to quants all night. People are rerunning the numbers, and we just have to hang in there, and we're going to win this little thing. I promise you.
That's James Carville, former presidential campaign advisor and director for Bill Clinton, and his Louisiana accent, which I always love. I love it. I love Louisiana. I like James. I like listening to him. Very sharp guy, you can't deny that. But I love him saying, that was early this morning, of course, when things were not sure where it was going at that time. He said, all the Democrats put the razor blades and the Ambien back in the medicine cabinet, we're going to be fine. Maybe that's the same thing Republicans need to hear at this point. We got more to come. Yes, yes, the Wisconsin, if it's correct, going now to Biden makes things tougher and tighter. And Nevada is not going to give any more reporting for some reason until tomorrow. Why, we still don't know. Michigan being challenged by the Trump campaign right now, saying we're not being allowed to see the actual tabulating. So what are they doing in there? Pennsylvania already under question for so many mail-in ballots that have yet to be counted. Arizona being called last night, even by Fox News, for Biden. And now they're showing maybe 20,000 votes separating the two, Trump behind, and yet 400,000 plus ballots come in. And then you got Georgia, and you got North Carolina. I mean, there's still a lot in play. Arizona, if you put Arizona back in play, or in Wisconsin, you can say they're in play or they're not. Arizona's 11 electoral ballots, Wisconsin 10. If you take those out, you're down to Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. Trump would have to pretty much take Pennsylvania for sure. Michigan and probably Georgia would help do it for him. The numbers are all over, which, again, you might find that interesting. I have, and I can't quite understand it when I look at – I'm watching CNN right now, their update, and they're showing that Biden has 237. 237. Keep that in mind. And with Trump at 213. But Biden at 237, you need 270. That's CNN. That's their best estimate right now. So I don't know how you contrast what they had, and Fox News shows Biden at 248. Let me do my ciphering. Let me see. 248 minus 237. Yep, I see about 10 or 11 difference, don't you? So how's that going? I have no idea. I don't know. Now, what we do know, and as Carwood pointed out, that we ran a cut from him earlier, that the Latino vote in Florida was very, very big for Trump. And to that extent, when you look at the exit polls, specifically reference Florida, Hillary beat Trump by 37 points with Hispanics in 2016. 37 points. What they're showing by exit polls now, even by CNN, Trump did not beat Biden total, but Hillary beat Trump by 37 points. Biden beating him by only 8 points. There's no doubt the Latino vote was big for Trump. A Politico reporter stating that a top Miami Democrat told him Vice President Biden's performance in Florida was damaged by the Democrat Party's support for the defund the police movement, adding that they were obliterated by Hispanics. Defund the police killed us, said one top Miami Dem, saying it was getting too much attention and Latinos didn't want to see defund the police. They knew it was critical. And in September, you had Kamala Harris in Florida, along with others, praising the brilliance of such plans as defunding the police. James Carville was asked late last night, possibly early this morning on MSNBC, said, you say that put the razor blades away, put the Ambien away, that you're still going to win. You think you're going to do it. And James was insisting, yeah, it's going to happen. Now we don't know, is it going to be probably not later today, because Nevada apparently won't report anything else till tomorrow. We got to see where some of these challenges go. It may well run down all the way to the date of the Electoral College when they meet, and that's December, I think, 14. They have to meet at that time to cast a ballot, so it must be decided by then. Carville says, I still have a bottle of champagne, and I'm ready, and I'm going to use it at some point. Here's James Carville again.
It might take a little bit longer than we wanted, but everybody, just hang in there. America's coming back, and I feel good about where we are. I wish we were sitting here, you know, cracking over this, like, great bottle of champagne right now. But I'm going to put it on ice, and I don't think I'm going to crack it open about Friday. And I'm optimistic. I really am.
Okay, so James Carville says Friday I'm going to crack it open. Well, if he does, I hope he has to crack it open and drown his sorrows. But right now, to be honest, it does not look like that's going to happen as far as having to use a champagne to drown his sorrows. But let's see how it plays out over the next few days. This isn't over. This isn't over. Biden isn't singing, neither is Trump, but Trump is screaming at this point. And Biden may be back in the basement for all I know. We have a lot more to go on this story, and you know we're going to follow it for you. Let your friends and family know we're on the air. We'll be back here again tomorrow, new time, 1 to 3 o'clock. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.